And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord on this day and offer him praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done for us. Special welcome to all who might be new to St. John's. We're pleased to welcome visitors with us from time to time, and a welcome to all who are joining us online this morning. We are pleased to make these services available to you as well. I don't know if it was intentional or not, but I'm just kind of coming up here, and the music changed from our tune to what was the last one you were singing? Softly and Tenderly, Calling All Sinner, Come Home. Yes, there we go. That was the thought that hit my mind as I mounted the pulpit this morning. But it's good that we can be here and worship. The announcements have been before you on the screens, and there are some announcements in the service handout as well. So I hope you've had an opportunity to take a look and see those that are of most importance to you. Please note, choir practices have begun again for another season. We're downstairs following worship with a brief little pause along the way to grab a cup of coffee. So if you are feeling the Spirit moving you to come and share in the joy of singing in worship on Sundays, we'd be thrilled to have you downstairs following worship and have you join us. Yeah, there's nobody up there this morning. It's just, yeah. There will be a couple of people downstairs for choir practice, however, afterwards. So again, we would welcome people to come and join us for choir practice. And then on Wednesday evening of this week, and I got the date right this time, it's the 17th, not the 16th, like I said last week. But I did say it was Wednesday. On Wednesday the 17th, at 7 p.m. Here, we will be doing a brief seminar for folks who are new to St. John's and who would like to know a little bit more about what it means to be a member. What are you ascribing to when you join the church as far as a system of belief? And then what does it mean to be Presbyterian? So a brief discussion on that will be held on Wednesday evening. So we invite anybody who's, especially those who are newer to the Reformed tradition, to Presbyterianism, to join us for that. And anyone who's curious and thinking, gee, I know that the minister that confirmed me told me something about that, but I can't remember what the finer details are. Come on along. We'd be thrilled to have you on Wednesday evening. And then the following Wednesday evening, so I guess that would be 24 if my math is correct, on September 24th, Bible study will begin, and we'll be looking at the book of Revelation this year. So anyone who's curious about the book of Revelation, come on along. We'd love to have you. And finally, received news this week from Bev Hope, that Phyllis McDonald, a member of our congregation, passed away on September the 9th. And so we make note of that passing. And for any who knew Phyllis while she was here with us, Bev noted that Phyllis moved several years ago, at least several years ago, because I've been here 6 and I don't know her at all. She was gone before I arrived. She moved to Edmonton to be with her family and has been in long-term care there for a number of years. She had some dementias, and apparently part of her new reality of aging life was that she was here at St. John's. And we had just redone the sanctuary, and she thought it looked marvelous. So we give thanks to God for the faithful service of Phyllis and for the role that this congregation played in her life through the years. And while we're at it this morning, we say good morning to Bev and Bill Hope, who join us each week on the live stream. It's nice to see you this morning, Bev and Bill. We light the Christ candle as we come into worship to remind us that Christ is the light of the world and that we who are his people seek to walk in the light of his love. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You were there before the world was made and will be forever. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Lord God of every time and place, apart from you, our life is brief and meaningless, but in you we experience endless abundance. Reveal to us all we can comprehend of our place in your design for eternity. Help us to receive each day as a gift and to use your gift wisely and well, so that we may live in joy and bring glory to Christ your Son, our Lord. Amen. We begin in praise this morning as we sing the hymn 477, Your Hand, O God, Has Guided. Hymn 477 in the Book of Praise, or as it will appear before you on the screens.
Your hand, O God, has guided the flock from age to age. The wondrous tale is written full clear on every page. Our forebears knew your goodness, and we their deeds record. And both of this bear witness, one church, one faith, one Lord. Your heralds brought glad tidings to greatest as to least. They summoned all to hasten to share the great king's feast. And this was all their teaching in every deed and word. Shall hearts fail, hands hang down? Shall we evade the conflict and cast away our crown? Not so in God's deep counsels, some better thing is stored. We will maintain unflinching one church, one faith, one Lord. Your mercy will not fail us, nor leave your work undone. With your right hand to help us, the victory shall. And then by earth and heaven your name shall be adored. And this shall be their anthem, one church, one faith, one Lord.
Friends, God watches over the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. We have righteousness within us, but we have also wickedness. Therefore, we come this day confessing our sins before God and seeking God's forgiveness. The prayer of confession for this morning is a unison prayer and will appear before you on the screen. Giver, life-giving God, giver of every good and perfect gift, we have misunderstood and misused your blessings. We stuff ourselves with possessions, our schedules with busyness, our bodies with excess. But these things leave us empty. Distracted by the immediate, we overlook the eternal. In our pride, we try to manufacture our fulfillment rather than receive it as your gift. In your mercy, Lord, forgive us. Satisfy our hungers with the bread of heaven. Slake our thirsts with your living water. Satisfy us with your love, that obeying your will and serving your glory may fill us till we want no more. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, believe in the gospel, that in Christ we have been accepted as we are. Believe that we are forgiven, and love with the delight of a nursing mother cherishing her child. Believe that we are the church, the body of Christ, called to love one another as gentle children of God, and in all things give thanks to God. Amen. Our next hymn is number 330, O God, our help in ages past. The hymn is 330 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. Well, Ainsley, I think they're the only two here this morning. Good morning, guys. How are you this morning? Big on the dinosaurs this morning, Willem? I'm seeing that. good to see you this morning. What's changed?
Nothing.
Nothing? Nothing's changed?
Yeah, nothing changed.
You don't think? Oh, I think so. I think since the last time, because I don't think I've seen you all summer long.
Yeah.
So, I'm pretty sure you're bigger than when I saw you at the end of the year, school year. Because that's what you guys do. You get bigger, right? Always growing. What else has changed? I'm guessing Ainsley's in a new grade at school.
Yes, grade one.
New grade.
I'm still in kindergarten.
And you're still in kindergarten. Mm-hmm. And has anybody made a new friend? No? Did anybody have a friend maybe move away over the summer? Sometimes that happens. That's one of those big, significant changes when one of our friends moves away or they go to a different school and we don't get to see them anymore. That can be a terrible change. Yeah? We're talking about change. Talk about change. I got a question for you. Where were you 25 years ago? I'm going to need Sue's help on this. Sue, how old was their mother 25 years ago? 15? Yeah. 25 years ago, a long time, isn't it? Do you know what? There are a lot of people sitting here. If you look at their hair's changed color in 25 years. Because I've been looking at pictures this week of the congregation, and a lot of people's hair has changed colors. Mine hasn't changed a bit. But I'm not in the pictures, so you don't know that. But 25 years ago, which was like before you were born, your mom was still going to school. That's how long ago. I know, right? But 25 years ago, we did something special here. I'm going to. 25 years ago, they filled this thing, which is a covenant box, was what we called it. And when I opened it earlier this week, I was confronted with all of this stuff, and the stuff that's on the table at the back, if you didn't notice it coming in this morning. A whole bunch of stuff. And the whole bunch of stuff still in here, as well as the stuff that's on the table at the back. I should show it to the people over on this side of the room, too. Just a whole bunch of stuff that was put in there by people who came to this church 25 years ago. They put it in here as a gift for us so that, and maybe for those of us who remember, maybe for those of us who don't remember, but you may find some things in the box over the next little while that will remind you of 25 years ago. But there was all kinds of treasure in the box. And so we're going to open the box, and over the next little while, over the rest of the year, we're going to, every now and then, we're going to have a little time when we'll open the box and we'll take a look and see what's there. Not 5,000, just 25. 5,000 years ago, there might have been a dinosaur. Not quite, but close. So anyway, so that's what we're talking. I wanted to share with our broader church family this morning, everybody who's sitting here, some things. So I'm going to show you some pictures in a minute. But before we do that, two things. First, if you look in your bulletin, you're going to find this insert. This insert was the insert in the liturgy that they used when they put everything into the box. And I thought it was good enough that we'd use it again as a reminder of what they were thinking as they put the material into the box and as we take it out. There are a couple of sung pieces, and then there's some responsive stuff. So we begin singing, and Olivia will lead us through that.
Let us hope when hope seems hopeless, when the dreams we dreamed have died, when the morning breaks in brightness, hunger shall be satisfied. One who sows the field with weeping shall retrace the sorrowing way and replace in harvest bounty at the breaking of this day.
And I will invite you all to share in the responses. What is in the box? What kind of promises? What does God promise? It sounds like God is making all things new. Now we take a look in the box because it is full of God's promises. It is full of faith and hope and love and joy. It's harder to read it when we don't break it up, isn't it? What do these things tell us about our faith? What hope do we take with us into the future? And let us sing once more. One of the things in the box was a letter. A letter that was written to us at the time that they put all of these things away. So listen to the letter. Gathered for worship on this last day of December in the year of our Lord 2000, the congregation of St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall sends warmest greetings to all who will be present at the opening of this covenant box sometime in 2025. In the past 18 months, we have participated, like others, in events surrounding the 125th anniversary of the Presbyterian Church in Canada, the advent of another millennium, and the desires of a year of Jubilee. Today, our celebration comes to a close as we fill and seal this covenant box, our gift of faith and hope to those who will follow us in St. John's Church. In such box, you will find photos, reports, bulletins, memorabilia, and other materials relative to this period. In particular, you will find some of the promises contained in God's holy word as an inspiration to you who continue to keep the faith in our one Lord Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Some of us assembled here today may well be alive and present to share in your expectation and joy as we open this box. May they be found among a goodly, enduring community of men and women, children and youth, whom God has called from darkness into light by his word and spirit, and in whom the faith abides from one generation to the next. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And the letter is signed by the co-chairs of the Celebrate Committee, the people who were responsible for all of those 18 months, Lois Gemmel and Dan Plant, and by the then minister of St. John's, the Reverend Fred Rennie. And so I know you're all wondering what was in the box. If you didn't stop at the table, please do. Everything that you're going to see in a second was in the box. But it all started, of course, it was all around the millennium. So New Year's plays a very important part in what is in the box. But it all started with a picnic. And a cake. Because who can have a celebration without a cake? And we gathered at Alds Park to celebrate together and to plant a tree and on behalf of the 125th anniversary. There was another barbecue here at the church. One of you may be in one of these pictures as we gathered together. Some people had hair that don't have it anymore, too, by the way. We were reminded of crushed pop cans, a ministry that still continues here, and of the Celebrate banner, which hangs on the side of the wall, and of some of the people who have celebrated and led in worship, our choir, and finally, and some of our families, reminiscences from the Joneses are at the back, and it just so happens that Dan and Deb Plant were married during the time that they were doing it, so you saw Dan and Deb coming down the aisle, and we congratulate them because they are celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary in just the next week or so. So they were married in September of that year. So these are all of the things that we will look at today, and I invite you to pause and enjoy the material that is on the table at the back. Everything came, as you noted in the box, very neatly organized in envelopes that Fred had individually sealed each and every one. So as you see how many envelopes there were, know that I had to open every single envelope this week. I wish Fred hadn't licked them. But that's my one complaint. When we do the covenant box again sometime, folks, remind me, don't seal the envelopes. But they were a great treasure to explore this week. And I hope you will enjoy looking at them during the time to come. And with that, I'm going to let you guys go down to Sunday school this morning, all right? Now, before you go, Willem, did you recognize anybody in these pictures?
Yes.
Who did you see?
Great Manny.
Your great nanny was in that one of those, wasn't she? Yes, she was. So you can go off to class now, and we'll see you after your time this morning. And as they leave, we will join our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Open now your word to us, that we may hear your promises and know them to be true. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be one God, now and forevermore. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah 43, verses 14 to 21. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I will send to Babylon and break down all the bars, and the shouting of the Chaldeans will be turned to lamentation. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters? Who brings our chariot and horse, army and warrior? They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people who I formed for myself so that they might declare my praise. Second reading is responsive, Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains
were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals.
For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, or like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away, they are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are consumed by your anger, by your wrath we are overwhelmed.
You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
For all our days pass away under your wrath, our years come to an end like a sigh.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80 if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be manifest in your servants and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. The last reading from Hebrews 13, 1 to 8. Let mutual affection continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, who those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever.
And we rise and join our voices as one as we sing the praise. Praise to the Lord, the Almighty. Number 321 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears before you on the screen. And our gospel reading for this morning, taken from Matthew chapter 24, we read verses 1 to 14. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Now as Jesus came out of the temple and was going away, his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. And then he asked them, "You see all of these, do you not? Truly, I tell you, not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will this be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" And Jesus answered them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed. For this must take place, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. Then they will hand you over to be tortured, and you will be put to death. and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. Then many will fall away, and they will betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because of the increase of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this is the good, and this good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the world as a testimony to all the nations. And then the end will come. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, a little note before I get going, in case I forget to say this. The title of the sermon this morning is the same title to one of the sermons that's in the box. It's not the same sermon. It might be in the box. I suppose I could use it someday. But I believe it was on New Year's Eve, if memory serves me correctly, in 1999, looking forward to that gargantuan trip over the new year that happened that year, that there was a special service of worship held here at St. John's, and Fred preached a sermon entitled, That Which Endures. And I thought that was a good title for us today as we come and open the box and celebrate what has gone on in the past 25 years. But 2025, well, it's been a bit of a difficult year, hasn't it? Here in Eastern Ontario, we've been worried about drought. In town here, we watched our lawns turn brown for extended periods of time. Further out into the country, farmers are worried about the quality of their crops for this coming harvest season. And yet, we also know that compared to many, we have it lucky. One of the things about living in Cornwall I have discovered is that calamity that happens across our country or indeed around the world often leads people to Cornwall. I never knew that before. But if you think about it, the present day Dev Center in our community, the presence of the Dev Center in our community over the past number of years has meant that those who are in need of shelter have ended up here. Be they people who were stranded on cruise ships during the early days of COVID, you remember that? They stayed at the Dev Center. Or Ukrainian refugees fleeing the conflict in their country came to the Dev Center. Refugee seekers from around the world have paused for a moment in Cornwall before they've gone out across the country. And people escaping wildfires over the past several months have all found a home in sleepy little Cornwall. Imagine. Now, I doubt many of us can imagine what it must be like to receive that knock on the door and be told you have 2 hours to gather up everything that is important to you, put it into a bag or into your car, and leave because your town is being evacuated. Think for just a moment. What would you grab in that 2 hours? Where would you even begin? Where are all the important papers that you might want to take with you? Do you grab your jewelry box on the way out the door? What clothes are you going to need? How long will you be gone? Will you ever come back again? And an awful lot of people, it seems, make the wrong choices. Right? We see them on the news after natural disasters. In the days following a tornado or a hurricane or a wildfire has hit a community, people come back to their neighborhood, picking through the rubble, searching for the treasures of their life, searching for remembrances. Your parents' wedding photo, or maybe any photo album that reminds you of what has happened in the last 25 years, 50 years. The chronicles of your life. Maybe grandma's quilt that is tucked away in the cupboard. Or maybe it's a teddy bear, long stowed away, but once loved with a love so fierce that you couldn't go anywhere without it. What would you really want to take if the world, as you know it, was about to end? As we turn to the scriptures this morning, we are confronted with the image of the end of the world. Each of the gospels has this little piece buried in them at the end of the gospel. In those days just before Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, it's called in each of them the mini-apocalypse. Right, a discussion about what the end of the world and the coming of the kingdom of God might look like. And what would be important. This is the background to this difficult reading that we have from Matthew. They're all difficult readings, by the way. All of the many apocalypses in the gospel. Each in their own way, disturbing and troubling a little bit to our sensibilities. But this is the background for this morning. And perhaps the question, how will we really know, is what rests on the minds of Jesus' disciples as they talk to him. And Jesus said, there will be wars and rumors of wars that will frighten us, especially us, who live in a nuclear age, in an age of great technological warfare. Forest fires or droughts or any kind of natural disaster may come our way. Never thought I'd say this, but pandemics will come and go. Which ones are we to take seriously? And these things had even more significance to the people to whom Jesus spoke in his day, because sometimes we might forget that Jesus lived in times of turmoil too. Just because Jesus walked along that lonesome highway doesn't mean that the flowers sprang up at his feet. Jesus lived in turmoil. The Judah that Jesus lived in was under a foreign occupation by the superpower of the day, Rome. And all around there was an uncomfortable peace. And from this reading, if we were able to just flip the page of our Bibles, just one page from this reading that we hear this morning, we would find that uncomfortable peace and that power is on full and naked display in the arrest and the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And yet Jesus says, despite all of these things that may rise up, disasters in their own right, but maybe not the end times, maybe not yet, Jesus' encouragement to his people, to his disciples, simply put, is have faith. Or, much more poetically, he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. And I can't hear those words without thinking, he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. If anybody knows Mendelssohn's Elijah, which was the first place Olivia went when she heard the sermon title for this week. So Jesus says, have faith. Do not be shaken from doing good. Right? All of those things that we heard later re-articulated in the book in the letter to the Hebrews. Do not be shaken from the things that are important. Do not be shaken from doing good. Do not let divisions cause you to turn a blind eye and fail to show love to one another. It is the one who endures to the end, the one that clings to their faith and is able to hold on, who will experience salvation. Now, worth noting, it's not that if we remain faithful, we will earn our salvation. Because we all know that's not how salvation works, right? That salvation is our unmerited, our unearned gift from God. It's not that we earn it by continuing to be earnest in our faith, but it is the reality that we experience the fullness of God's love as it is enacted and embodied by us and by others. As we begin, as we share it with one another, and as we begin this brief season during which we're going to dive into all of the things that are in the box, because there's a lot more in the box. So every couple of weeks, you'll see something from the box. But as we delve into the contents of this covenant box and the promises that it embodies, the faithfulness that it gives testimony to, we will remember with fondness the past. Yes, but we will also unavoidably be asked to consider the future. After all, that's what those people, the people of St. John's in 2000, were doing when they placed those things in the box for you. They were looking to the future and wondering exactly what 2025 would be like. And they were placed by faith, assuming that we would get here. And we have. Mission accomplished. Part ways. It's been an interesting week. I've dived into the box several times. I think I've emptied it, looked at stuff, put it back in the box, pulled it back out, put it back. About four times. Four times to get through all of those envelopes and think about what was there and consider how we might reshare it with the congregation. But as I dug through the box time and again over this past week, I couldn't help but think of all of the things that have changed since the year 2000. Think about it. As I was digging through, number one, I wish there were more photographs. But in the year 2000, to take a picture meant you needed a camera, right? Not everybody wandered around everywhere with a cell phone in their pocket that took pictures at will. And if you took the picture, then you had to go take it to the film store to be developed. Man, I wish those pictures had been digital. There was an awful lot of running back and forth to the printer in the main office to scan all of those pictures over this past week. I cursed every newspaper clipping that Fred put in the box. because I don't know what to do with them, I'll be honest. Interesting stuff, don't get me wrong, but I smiled at every cassette tape that I pulled out, thinking, how many of us still have a cassette player in our house that we can play these on? Anybody? Oh, hey, look, some of you are going to get to take them home. I smiled at each one of those, and I outright laughed out loud at one of Fred's notes on one of those envelopes. Fred, as you all know, or many of you who know Fred will be aware, was very good at making sure that everything was well labeled. But on one of the envelopes, he left a little commentary. Written on the envelope that contained the quarterly giving statements. Do you remember the quarterly giving statements with the rip-off part, and you were given an update on where you were in your givings each quarter? Well, one of those is in the box. And written on the envelope containing it was a note that said, quarterly giving statement. And then in brackets, these will be obsolete by the time you open this. Of course, if you can remember, he was half right. But I don't think they went went obsolete nearly as quickly as he thought they were going to. Because we used them during my time here up until about the year 2000, 2001. So I'm sure I wonder if he wondered in those years, gee, I thought we would get rid of those by now. And do you remember the year 2000? And the dread. What was going to happen when we tipped over the abyss from 1999 into 2000? There were fears that all of our devices, all of our computers and electronic stuff was just all going to stop. And it would never work again. We were all warned, do you remember? Turn off your computer on New Year's Eve before midnight so that it's not on when it goes over the precipice for fear that everything that you had in it was lost. The world was about to end. Well, congratulations, you made it. We're here 25 years later. The world did not end. It has not since. But my goodness, there have been times, haven't there? Haven't there been wars and rumors of wars and divisions and dissensions and natural disasters, earthquakes and fires? And there have been some who would say, the end is near. But our faith tells us that our God is a God of life, and that we who are his followers are to sanctify and enjoy life in its fullness. That regardless of what is happening around us and the fears that may dwell in our hearts, that God ultimately is in control and will see us through all of these things, so that we can patiently and calmly wait for the Lord. Because this is what we know. The one who does endure to the end, that one will be saved. Thanks be to God for all of his blessings to us, past and present and still to come. Amen. This morning's affirmation of faith comes to us from the Presbyterian Church in Canada's Living Faith document. We read chapter 10, portions from chapter 10, entitled Our Hope in God. Let us read responsively as it comes before you on the screens. God has prepared for us things beyond our imagining. Our hope is for a renewed world and for fullness of life in the age to come. As Jesus taught us, we pray, "Thy kingdom come." Life in the age to come is pictured in the Bible in different ways. An eternal kingdom, a new heaven and a new earth, a marriage feast, an unending day, the Father's house, and joy in God's presence. God will triumph over all opposition and everything that disrupts creation. Life had its beginning in God. In God, it will come to its completion and its meaning be fully revealed. All creation will find fulfillment in God. Christ will come again. Only God knows when and how our Lord will return. Now we see in part, then we shall see face to face. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Scripture encourages us to do good and to share what we have with others, for such sacrifices are pleasing to the Lord. Let us now come presenting our tithes and offerings to the Lord. Let us pray. Faithful and unchanging God, in a world that shifts and sways, you remain our firm foundation. You have called us into a life of mutual love, teaching us to serve, to welcome, and to give with generous hearts. Bless these gifts we offer today, that they may extend your love to those who hunger, those who seek justice, and those who long for hope. Shape us into a people whose generosity reflects your own, that through our giving we may proclaim your unshakable kingdom. We pray all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our constant and faithful guide. Amen. Once more, let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. Sovereign and trustworthy God, all the world worships you and gives praise to your holy name. You created the world and all that is in it, in rich diversity and wonder. You established patterns of seasons and of orbits, from the tiniest cells in our bodies to the vast depths of the universe. The intricacy of your hand we work is on full display. What can we do but sing your praise? Before the hills in order stood, you were God. We thank you for the gift of faith and for the accounts of Scripture that reveal your love to us. We thank you for all those people down through the ages, saints and sinners in equal measure, whose life stories inspire us to faithful living. For Teresa of Avila and Mother Teresa. For the Venerable Bede, Martin Luther, and John Calvin. And we are particularly grateful for all those we have known, parents and grandparents, ministers and church school teachers, who have been for us models of faithfulness and in whose footsteps we now plant our own. We give you thanks, O God, that you have promised to be our strength amid all the challenges of the present day. As you have walked with all those who have placed their trust in you in the past, we pray that you will be with us today. Especially, we hold up before you those who are facing challenges of body, mind, or spirit. Be with those who are in hospital or those awaiting treatment. Lift up those who have been bowed low by the burdens of this world. Encourage those who are feeling lost and alone. And help us to be models of faithfulness and messengers of love, of your love to all who are in need. You, O God, are our hope for the years that are to come. We pray that you will be with us and guide us through uncertain and confusing times. In all things, help us to fix our eyes upon Jesus, the North Star of our faith, and the unmovable rock upon which we stand. Give to us and to all people the clear vision to see your image in the face of all people, friend and foe alike. And in Jesus' name, unite us to work for the good of all people. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught his disciples to pray in this manner. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Before I announce the closing hymn, just a note about next weekend's service. Next weekend, I will be in Avonmore to conduct the service of communion there as part of my duties as their interim moderator, which means I'm not going to be here. Aren't you lucky? Next week, the session will be leading the service of worship, and we will be celebrating the generosity of this congregation and of Presbyterians across the country as we celebrate Presbyterian Sharing Sunday. So plan to be here to support your elders as they lead in worship next week. Our closing hymn is number 472. We are God's people, the chosen of the Lord. Number 472, or as it appears before you on the screens.
Spirit established by our word.
And now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than we can ask or imagine, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with you all this day and forevermore. Amen.